There's a worldview war going on right now. One radio program gives you full frontline coverage. It's Generations, and here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
Welcome to Generations, friends. Kevin Swanson with you, Executive Director of Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. But the reason I'm here, I'm a father of five, and I'm looking at the world through the eyes of a biblical worldview and through the eyes of fathers who care about what happens in this country, in our world, because we're leaving our children here after we pass. Today I want to look at Pat Buchanan's latest book, Day of Reckoning. His last book was Death of the West. Dave, this is the Jeremiah of the Republican Party. Pat Buchanan is declaring America coming apart, decomposing, and the likelihood of her survival as one nation improbable. And Dave, you know, we've mentioned this before on this program. We have, I think, done our share of Jeremiads on this program. And, you know, it is very possible that America will not survive. Now, you're talking here to a guy who wrote the book, The Second Mayflower. I have hope that God will revive faith, family, and freedom in some form in the next generation or two. So, of course, I've got some optimism here. But, Dave, so another empire bites the dust. You know, as we've said before on the program, hey, welcome to the city of man. Welcome to what they've been doing for the last, 6,000 years since Babel came down. We build our towers so high they fall down. Hello, as we centralize government and build our powers and build our towers as high as possible, usually on debt and usually spending the inheritance of the next generation or two in the process, we destroy our empires. And our empires come down. And so what? The kingdom of God continues from generation to generation, something that I think Pat Buchanan doesn't mention in his book. Because he's not as, I think, not as focused on what God is doing in the building of the Church of Jesus Christ from generation to generation as he is in the building of the city of man. But nevertheless, here is a summary from Drudge on the new Buchanan book, which declares the end of America. And I just go through some of these summary statements. The U.S. Army is breaking down and is too small to meet America's global commitments. The dollar has sunk to historic lows and is being abandoned by foreign governments. Check, check, check. I think that's true. U.S. manufacturing is being hollowed out. The greatest invasion in history from the third world is swamping the ethno-cultural core of the country, leading to balkanization and the loss of the Southwest to Mexico. Could happen. Dave, you know what? It could happen. Mexico has been trying to reclaim Texas, Colorado, Arizona, New Mexico for quite some time. It could happen. I've said it, I think, before on the program that these states could roll back to Mexico. Who knows?
Well, I think Pat is looking at America as not an experiment in government, not as a covenant nation, but as an Anglo-Saxon experiment in democracy or in republic government. He looks at primarily as a culture and how that was expressed over the last 150 years. And he sees that the culture is going to change. So whatever it was, it will be different. I would say that what America was a covenant nation, a nation that was founded on a covenant with God. And that was lost a long time ago. And by the way, I think part of that was an immigration issue. We brought in millions upon millions of people who did not have that Presbyterian-like faith in a covenant understanding of a nation, and ever since then, we have been an experiment in government.
Many of whom came to this country and did not want to sign up to a Christian God, didn't want to serve a Christian God, therefore we lost a cross-cultural denominator. And when you lose a unity, a basic unity at the foundation of the nation, ladies and gentlemen, you are going to see the diversity kill the nation. Granted, there can be diversity. I believe there can be. I think there can be ethno-diversity. I think there can be some cultural diversity. But you've got to have some common cultural denominator, and this nation's common cultural denominator from the beginning was a recognition of the Christian God and the Christian Bible as a source of truth and law. And that we lost, as Dave mentioned, 100 years ago or so. And therefore, I think we could have a problem. By the way, the book also talks about the culture collapsing and the nation being deconstructed along the lines of race and class, and that's very true. I think it's true. He's right there. A fiscal crisis looms as the unfunded mandates of Social Security and Medicare remain unaddressed. And all these crises are hitting America at the same time. A perfect storm of crises right now in America. Buchanan contends that Pax Americana, the era of U.S. global dominance, is over, and a struggle for global dominance has begun among the United States, China, and a resurgent Russia and radical Islam. Also, Bush's invasion of Iraq was a product of hubris and of ideology, a secular religion of democratism, to which Bush was converted in the days following 9/11. Torn asunder by a culture war, America has now begun to break down along class, ethnic, and racial lines. The greatest threat to U.S. sovereignty and independence is the scheme of a global elite to erase America's borders and merge the USA, Mexico, and Canada into a North American Union. Could very well happen. Anyway, Buchanan's recommendations are this: a new foreign defense policy that closes most of the 1,000 bases overseas, reviews all alliances, and brings home U.S. troops. I'm not opposed to that. A purge of neoconservative ideology and the cakewalk crowd from national power, doesn't like the neoconservatives. To avert a second Cold War, the United States should get out of Russia's space and get out of Russia's face. That's a quote from the book. And shut down all U.S. bases on the soil of the former Soviet Union. To reach a cold peace in the culture war, Buchanan urges a return to federalism and the overthrow of our judicial dictatorship by congressionally mandated restrictions on the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court would not be a bad idea. And to end the trade deficits and save the dollar, Buchanan urges a Hamiltonian solution, a 20% border equity tax on imports, with the $500 billion raised to be used to end taxation on American producers. And to prevent America becoming a tangle of squabbling nationalities, Buchanan urges no amnesty for 12 to 20 million illegal aliens, a border fence from San Diego to Brownsville, congressional declarations that children born to illegal aliens are now citizens, and English is the language of the United States, and a timeout on all immigration. And that is, he wants to shut down immigration. Dave, a couple of points I want to make before we make the break here. Number one, I'm not sure that Buchanan is asking fundamental questions. I mean, he does talk about the culture and the decline of the culture, and that's good. To that extent, that's good. But he offers no fundamental solutions. In other words, what's wrong with Mexicans coming over here, and why are they any different than the Anglo-Saxon immigrants and the African immigrants that abort their children by the millions? In other words, we already have a broken-down culture, so we get Hispanics now coming in with, well, maybe even a stronger family ethic than the vast majority of people in the nation already. Who knows? The Mexicans actually might be better immigrants and might serve better for a stronger family and a better Judeo-Christian value than those that exist right here, right now. So fundamentally, we've got bigger problems, my friends, in this nation. I'm not sure we're going to solve it by an immigration policy. Moreover, why do Americans have such a huge trade deficit? Why are Americans in debt? Why is the dollar so worthless? Why has America turned to military might to quell any potential aggressor? Why? Why is this happening? Why do the American people want big government solutions and increasingly centralized government? Why do Americans want to control the world? Why is the decentralization of power so distasteful to the masses? Why has the culture lost its common denominator? Why do all empires break down? The question is answered simply because our hearts have turned away from God. Because our families have become unraveled, because churches don't know how to create community or preach the law of God, because people live today for today. They don't live for tomorrow. They get into as much debt as possible to live as high off the hog as possible, and they could care less about the next generation. If that's what exists in the hearts of people, here's the question. How do you solve the problem? Why does Pat Buchanan present merely economic and political solutions when you know these won't solve the basic problem, which exists in the hearts of men? The problems are far more social and moral than they are economic and political. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, we're going to try to solve these problems. How do we solve these social and moral problems that lurk in the hearts of the people in this nation? How do we change the people's worldview? We'll be back in a moment. Stay with me. Back on Generations Friends, Kevin Swanson with you, talking about all the trouble in the world, and there's a lot of it, according to Pat Buchanan, anyway. And, you know, Dave, this book can be a little depressing for some. I mean, you're looking at the future of a nation, and we've spent a lot of our capital. In other words, this nation really produced tremendous capital, not just in terms of economics. We obviously live higher off the hog than anybody's ever lived, probably in the history of the world. And yet we also inherited a great deal of spiritual capital, but we've spent it all, and now we're spending our children's and our grandchildren's inheritance. So I'm not sure this nation has much of a future.
Well, I'm not sure what the future holds. It's awfully hard to make predictions, especially when they're about the future. But I do know that this nation has been blessed in the past, and I do know that God is merciful and good. And for the sake of the remnant, he will do what it takes to preserve his church and to preserve his people.
Folks, we've got a Social Security crisis looming. Birth implosions are not helping, and that's, of course, affecting just about every developed world where this existentialist worldview of John Paul Sartre has affected us. That is, people live for themselves. They don't live for their future or for their children or for their families anymore. We certainly are seeing the decline of the family. 37% of children are born without fathers, up from 6-7% some 40 years ago. So the family is effectively disintegrated. Debt is just consuming not just the households and the families of this nation, but the federal government is utterly, utterly wiped out in debt. And, of course, you've got all the unfunded Social Security mandates and so forth to consider as well. But anyway, with all of this happening, understandably, the world is falling apart because of a bad worldview. You run out into that world and you do your economics and politics by way of the existentialists of John Paul Sartre and John Maynard Keynes, and you're going to wind up spending the nation into the ground. And, you know, interesting, Dave, the Hugh Hewitt interview with Father Fescio some year ago or so, he talked about how the Roman Catholics are looking at Italy and Europe and seeing a decline of the birth rate in those countries, and also the fact that Muslims are taking over. And according to this Roman Catholic provost from Florida, we're seeing that Christianity is effectively dead and Western civilization will not survive in Europe. So that's effectively the prognosis on Europe. Europe is dead. However, as they turn their attention to America, and this was Father Fescio's review of a meeting that he had with the Pope and other Catholic academicians from around the world, and what he discovered was that in America that there was maybe some hope for Western civilization and for the Christian faith, and he said a lot of the hope was centered on the fact that there were still some families in America who had a desire to have children and had the faith to want to pass on their own faith to their children in the next generation or two or three or four. And he said, among the people where there is still some semblance of hope for the future was the homeschoolers. He pointed out the homeschoolers, specifically mentioned that there are home educators in America that are having lots and lots of children, and they have the faith to want to carry on their faith to the next generation. And that, of course, is not happening in Europe anymore, but it is happening here in America. And then Fescio said, you know what, you Protestants are having more of those homeschools than we Catholics are, so we Catholics better get our act together effectively. But Dave, you know, he referred to homeschools as the monasteries of the new dark age, and it could be that God is raising up a remnant here in America, specifically among homeschoolers, where there are millions upon millions of these homeschoolers that are really having lots of children. They are discipling their children, and these children are probably going to make a significant impact on the way that we do our economics, the way we do our politics, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, there is hope, and I think that's one reason why we broadcast this program day in and day out, because, you know, I travel the nation, and this year I've been in 10, 15 states. Next year I'll be in another 15 to 20 states, and I meet these people all the time by the tens of thousands. These people are really desiring to build godly families and pass a heritage on to the next generation, and I think that's exciting. That's a reason for hope.
Well, when he talks about a monasteries of the new dark age, he's really saying quite a mouthful. The dark age that he's referring to is the age after the post-collapse of the empire. And so if the empire collapses, we'd be in the new dark age. And the monasteries in the last dark age are those that preserved culture and those institutions from which people were ministered and from which commerce and civilization was rebuilt. You know, when Rome fell, it didn't just become a big barbarian horde, and we didn't start all the way back from scratch. No, a lot of that capital was preserved in the monasteries, and from there, and it took some time, civilizations were rebuilt to now what Western Europe is. if America falls, and if we enter a post-empire age, it may very well be that it is those who have preserved some of the original capital, the covenant ideas, the biblical law systems that are going to rebuild society. And no place is that more common than in the home schools of many families across this nation.
Wow, that's heavy, Dave, to think about that, that God has laid down a vision right now in the hearts and homes of a lot of folks to preserve something for future generations. Ladies and gentlemen, we're breaking down in every possible way, economically, politically, culturally. I mean, think about the fact that music itself has gone from Bach in the 1700s to rape rap on the top 40 charts in the year 2007. Our culture has utterly fallen apart. And yet there's something very healthy, very beautiful, very strong, very solid being constructed right now in the living rooms and the kitchens across this nation. And again, we're asking the question, why are Americans in debt? Why is the dollar worthless? Why has America turned to military might to quell any potential aggressor? Why do the American people want big government solutions? Why is the empire breaking down? Why is this happening? Well, it's because we have no vision. Without a vision, the people perish. That comes from the Word of God. And again, how do you get vision? How do you get families to start having 5, 6, 8 children again? How do you get a society that will stop going into trillions of dollars in debt, living off of the capital of previous generations and spending the inheritance of their children? How do you get families to stop doing that kind of thing? How do you get families that will work on debt-free living? How do you get young people to stop making materials their chief goal and start investing in relationships? And instead of seeing that economics is the sole goal, invest in relationships, build father-son relationships and mother-children relationships, and establish the long-term discipling relationships in those homes, because that's a value. How do you reestablish relational living? How do you get children to take care of their parents in their old age so they won't need Social Security and Medicare? How do you get parents to save an inheritance for their children? How do you get parents to pay for their own children's education? How do you get parents not to want to abort their children? How do you get that? How do you get them to start at the most basic level in education and teach their children that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge? Well, here's what you do. What you do is you teach people the law of God. Okay? Pat Buchanan, are you listening? Pat Buchanan, this is for you. The way you change everything is by sitting people down and you teach them the law of God. You teach them to repent of their sins and trust in Christ for the atonement for their sins, because they haven't been doing these things, because they've been putting themselves over relationships, and because they haven't been taking care of their parents in their old age, and because they won't pay for their own children's education because they abort their children. They got to repent of this. They got to repent of not following the laws of God. They haven't been teaching their children that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge in the geography class and the history class. It has not happened much in the last 200 years. You get people to repent of that. They got to repent of that. And they got to believe in Jesus, that Jesus atoned for those sins. And that's how you do it. And you do this discipleship in relationship. Now, who establishes relationship and then disciples people in the warm environment of relationships? Fathers do that and pastors do it. So what I'm saying here today is we need fathers and pastors, basically. We need to find fatherhood again. We need to find pastors who are willing to sit down with people, establish warm, long-term relationships, and then start telling them about the vision of the Word of God and get them to walk in the vision of God's Word. Dave, is that too simple?
I don't think it's too simple. I think another way of putting it is the first rule of getting out of holes is you stop digging. The way we got into this hole is we cast off the law of God. We thought about the innovations, the laws of men, and we decided that we could have a commerce system that wasn't a hard currency, that was based on debt. We decided that we didn't really need to be covenanted together with our wife for life. We could divorce her if she became inconvenient, and we'd go on and have a second wife or a third wife, or actually no wife. In fact, the whole marriage covenant thing, we just cast us off. Maybe we just live together. We used to call it living in sin. Now we just call it partnerships. In fact, we can just cast off the law of God when it comes to raising our children. And God says, you know, parents, raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. No, I think we'll just go ahead and raise them in socialism. You got to stop digging that hole. Pretty soon, we're going to start not just aborting children, we're going to start euthanizing aged people, expensive people, because it's too expensive to keep them alive. We are probably going to get a homosexual marriage protection law on the federal level. Why? Because we have continued to not apply and use the Word of God. Stop digging. Stop digging. Use God's law. It works every time it's tried.
And fundamentally, the only people that can really step forward and begin to teach these things are parents and pastors, and primarily fathers and pastors. And Dave, unless we have fathers who are willing to crack God's Word and teach their children God's Word and disciple their children in God's Word every day, as God commands in Deuteronomy 6:7, Ephesians 6:4, unless fathers begin to spread that vision of God's Word into the hearts and lives of their children, we are not going to see fundamental change in this nation, folks. We have got to see fathers do this by the tens of thousands. And we got to get more pastors willing to do that, Dave. And that means preach the hard messages, but establish real solid relationships where that worldview message that is communicated will be received. In other words, they've got to establish some long-term shepherding relationships with the people that they work with. I think we need more fathers who are willing to teach God's Word every day as they sit in their house, and more pastors who have the guts to stand up and preach the law of God and bring people to repentance and faith in Christ. We just need more pastors willing to do this sort of thing. You know, it's interesting, Dave, the first Reformation was really the Reformation that landed this nation, and because it was the Puritans and Pilgrims and Scottish Covenanters that came over here and established this nation in the 1600s and 1700s, and yet it was rooted in John Knox. You know, the Reformation of Scotland was rooted in John Knox, and John Knox's last words, I think, are the same words that are on our hearts today, and that is this. John Knox's final words was, "God grant true pastors for thy Kirk." For thy church. That was all he wanted. He says, Lord, just give us pastors. If we have pastors that are willing to be brave and teach the Word of God to the people and shepherd God's people in the Word, man, if we get more pastors in Colorado, if we get more pastors in Scotland or wherever, we're going to see massive, massive reformation and probably a covenanted nation one day in the future. So if this nation is going to be reestablished on the foundations upon which she was once founded, ladies and gentlemen, we absolutely positively need good pastors willing to do this. We lack godly pastors and godly fathers, men like Richard Mather, Increase Mather, and Cotton Mather. We've talked about these guys before on the show, but these were the Puritan fathers and the pastors that founded this nation in the 1600s. And the bottom line, folks, is tyrannies and top-down hierarchical structures in civil or ecclesiastical realms simply will not survive where godly fatherhood is cultivated. And where fathers are sitting there and teaching their children God's Word as they sit in their house every single day. You will not have a tyranny if you have fathers by the hundreds of thousands, by the millions, sharing God's Word every day in this country. So therefore, if we are going to have a second Mayflower, it's going to be built from the bottom up, ladies and gentlemen. We cannot expect that electing a really good president is really going to change the world. It's going to be changed when we get godly fathers and godly elders and pastors leading the people of God and teaching them and discipling them in the Word of God each day. And here's the other point. If you can't rule your household well, you have no business trying to rule in the household of God. That is the most fundamental change we need right now, is hundreds of thousands of fathers willing to really commit themselves to this vision. Really willing to commit themselves to the Ephesians 6:4 and the Deuteronomy 6:7 vision. Fathers with a heart for God and a heart for their children. If we lose our families, we can't hope to save a nation. And like a lot of the Republican candidates running for president right now, their daughters are lesbians. We're talking about Republican candidates. Their daughters are lesbians. Their daughters are Barack Hussein supporters. If that's the case, ladies and gentlemen, we've already lost. Because we don't have fathers who are able to rule their households well. The second Mayflower is going to begin in the hearts of fathers right now. And ladies and gentlemen, as I wrap up this program, I just want to remind you that the second Mayflower is coming out in third edition in just about a month. In January, our hardback edition of the second Mayflower will be out. And we want you to look for that book in January of 2008, because, folks, this is the vision. This is my vision for what God can do in the future of this nation. The second Mayflower coming out in January 08. And folks, you can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.